Isaiah chapter 3 is our text this morning. Let's read these two verses. Isaiah 3, verse 10. Say ye to the righteous, in that day of judgment, it shall be well with them. Well. For they shall eat the fruit of their doing. You see, the fruit of their doing is Christ. He's the fruit of their doing. You see, what he did for us, he did as a representative man, and we're blessed in him. But there's a flip side. There's a woe. There's a downside. Yes, it shall be well with the righteous, but woe unto the wicked. Now, there is nothing more wicked before God than a man would trust himself for righteousness. That he would look to himself, his works, his deed, and what most people do, they consider themselves righteous by their standard of morality. They think because they don't do certain things that they're not wicked. I mean, not really. They think they're pretty good folks. Now, I'm all for morality, but my friend, I warn you, morality is not righteousness, not for God. Now, you might look pretty good before me, and I would encourage morality. Good conduct is fine. Be a good citizen. Be a good worker. Be the best you can, but never look to that for righteousness. Don't ever go about to establish your own righteousness by the deeds of your hand. Because that is extremely wicked before God. Before God. That's why the Lord says there in Galatians 2, where he says, Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the law, if righteousness can be done what by your doing, no need for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Is there? I mean, if you can just make up some for a few of your deficiencies by your morality, and if I can just coax you to stop this and start this and start this and just clean yourself up. Quit that habit. That's wickedness. When you look to that for a justifying righteousness before God. You see what I'm saying? It shall woe unto the wicked. There's nothing more wicked than to say the death and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, is not really necessary. I think I can get it done by my own doing. That is the height of wickedness. You see, he that believeth on the Son hath life, right? He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon those who do not believe the gospel. The wicked say there is no God. The wicked say there is no fear of God before their eyes. The righteous have a healthy, healthy, fervent fear and reverence of the Lord because they've been taught who he is. They've been taught who we are. So I've entitled the message, Say Ye to the Righteous. Say to every believer made righteous in Christ. Now, that's how we're made righteous, right? My instruction from the Lord is to say to you who are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for all of your salvation, this is what God tells me to tell you. You who are believers, you who are trusting Christ for all salvation, it'll be well with you. You'll hear him say, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It shall be well with you. That's what I'm to tell every believer. It is well with my soul. That's what we sang at our dear brother's funeral. It shall be well. It shall be well with our soul. They shall enjoy the fruit of their doing because their doings blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this blessed promise of God is not given to all men without distinction, is it? It doesn't say that it shall be well with all men without exception. That's not there. I can't tell that. I can't say to everybody, and I won't say to everybody, well, God loves you. Because God doesn't love everybody. God is love, but the love of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. His love is sovereign. His love is sovereign love. So I can't tell all men without exception, it shall be well with them. It shall only be well with the righteous. Those found in Christ. Those trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation. It'll be well with you. Those who were justified before God and declared and cleared of all guilt before the unbending, unyielding law of God in that day of judgment, their sins will be sought for and they will not be found. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God also boldly says, and I can boldly say because He had said, it won't be well with everyone. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, something's coming. Judgment. Judgment. You die in your sin, you'll be raised in your sin. Our Lord said in John 8, if you believe not that I am He, that I am, He is italicized. If you believe not that I am, that I am, if you believe not that I am God, you shall die in your sin. If you die in your sin, you'll be raised in your sin. You'll face God in judgment with your sin and hear Him depart, say, depart from me, ye wicked, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. Now, our God said it shall be well with the righteous. Now, I'm a sinner. I mean, I confess. I fess up before you and before God. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm born in sin, shaping in iniquity. God said there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all gone out of the way. We've every one of us turned away from God. Every one of us are sinners, born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But I'm a sinner and you are too. By birth, by choice, and by practice, by action, by attitude, by motive, by thought, word, and deed, we are sinful through and through. So we know when it says it shall be well with the righteous, something has to take place. Because by nature, I'm not a righteous man. I'm a sinner. But by His grace, I'm made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the apostle said, oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him who is the Lord, our righteousness. Who are these people that He's talking about that I can say to them, it shall be well with you? And I hope I can say that to everyone here, but I don't know your heart. God does. But I can say to every believer, it shall be well with you. Now, who are these people that are justified before God? Those found in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is our righteousness before God. You see, the righteousness that I enjoy as a sinner is a justifying righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ has freely, freely given to me. It says that in Romans chapter 4, verse 6, doesn't it? Blessed is the man whom the Lord would impute righteousness without works. The Lord Jesus Christ is made unto me. He's my righteousness. So therefore, as this sinner stands before God, I have a justifying righteousness. And God says of me in Christ, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It shall be well with the righteous. As He is right now, it says this in 1 John, as He is right now, so are we in this world. As He is righteous, so are we righteous. As He is holy, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in Him. It shall be well with the righteous. Jeremiah calls the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah said Canu. He's the Lord, our righteousness. Now, how are they made righteous or justified before God? Not by anything that they do. I'm not justified or made righteous by my deeds or by my works, but by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. God made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, this is what I desperately need. It will only be well with me now and for eternity if I have that righteousness of God in the gospel that's revealed in the gospel in Christ. God made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ alone. Now, one interesting thing I've noticed in reading the scripture, those who are truly made righteous in Christ, they readily confess. You know what they readily confess? Those who are truly justified and made righteous in Christ, you know what they confess before men and God? They're sinners. They're sinners. Have you ever noticed that in scripture? Our Lord said that man that prayed and went down to his house justified in Luke 18, he prayed, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God said he would justify. How about Job? Job said, I abhor myself, I repent in dust and ashes. And God said Job was a just man. That's what he said. Job was a just man, a righteous man. Yet Job said, I'm a sinner. I hate myself. I repent in dust and ashes. And then in Isaiah 65, turn over there. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. That worked better. Isaiah 6, verse 5. Isaiah himself said, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and heard the messengers cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Isaiah 6, verse 5. Then Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. Isaiah was God's prophet. Isaiah was justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Isaiah knew in and of himself, when he saw the beauty and holiness of God Almighty, he said, I'm a sinner. Before him and compared to him, I'm a sinner in and of myself. And then we have the record of the Apostle Paul. One called of God, blessed of God. We know he was a righteous, justified man in Christ. He writes about it extensively. And yet he called himself, oh, wretched man that I am. You see, those who are truly righteous and justified in the Lord Jesus Christ, they own in and of themselves that they're what? Sinners. What do you say about yourself? Well, you know, come on now. You don't need to confess before me, but God knows your heart. You don't have to do business with me, but you do have to do business with God. Are you a sinner? I tell you, if you are, you're a blessed person. If you know you're a sinner, you're a blessed man. You're a blessed man, because I tell you what sinners really know. You know what they really know? The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that he came to save sinners. Something else I've noticed in Scripture, those who are truly wicked, who are going about to establish their own righteousness by the deeds of their own doing, those who are truly wicked before God, who trust themselves for righteousness, they claim that they are righteous by what they do. And yet God said they're wicked. Remember in Matthew 7, they said, Lord, we preached in your name. Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. We've even cast out demons in your name. And we've done all these things in your name. They thought those things recommended them to God, or at least removed their sin. What did the Lord say? Depart from me. I never knew you. Those who are truly wicked, we read about in Scripture, they claimed that they were righteous, but God said, no, no, you're not. The Pharisee prayed with himself in Luke 18, said, God, I thank you I'm not like this. I've not done that. I've not done that. And the Lord said of that man, he went down to his house condemned. In John chapter 8, we studied that about those Pharisees, and they thought being the natural seed and descendant of Abraham recommended them to God. You remember? Oh, we be Abraham's children. We be righteous. We're righteous. We don't need the truth to set us free. We've never been in bondage to any man. What did the Lord say of them? You are of your father the devil, and the works of your father will you do. You see, they claimed to be righteous, but they were truly wicked. But those who are truly righteous by the blood and righteousness of God, they say of themselves that they are wicked. You see what I'm saying? And this is what we see on all through Scripture. Isn't this so with you who believe the gospel? Isn't this the experience of your heart? You know that the only hope of salvation you have is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you delight in the gospel of God's grace through Christ Jesus. So God instructs his ministers to say, "It shall be well with the righteous." And it is well. It is well with our soul. Every believer can say that. In this life, for a believer, it can't get any better than what we have right now in Christ. In this life, the believer is well fed, for he feeds abundantly upon Christ, the bread of life, the water of life. He's well clothed. I mean, he wears the best garments. They're not bought with silver and gold. They're bought with his blood. Turn over here to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. They're well clothed. They're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Isaiah 61 verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Isaiah 61 10. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Oh boy. You see? Oh, he wears the best clothes provided of God, the robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation, as the bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as the bride adorneth herself with jewels. The believer in this life is abundantly blessed in Christ Jesus. He's well fed, he's well clothed, he's well housed. For we belong to the family of God, and we're in the household of God. We're set on the sure foundation and will never be evicted. Turn to Isaiah 28. Now, it must be I've never been kicked out of a house. I've never been evicted, but it must be a terrible thing to have everything and all your belongings in a house and living there in that house, and for some reason something happens and you get a notice of eviction. You're forced by the law. You're forced out of your house, right? That's what eviction is. The law says you must vacate the premises right now. You see, believers in the household of God, resting upon the foundation of God, will never be evicted. They don't even have to worry about it. Look what it says here. I can make good on that. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And you know what that means? Shall not make haste. Never forced out. Never evicted. You see, we're resting in Christ. We're well housed in Christ upon that foundation. He's the rock upon which we build. The believer is not only well fed, well clothed, well housed, but you know what? He's married. Every believer is married. Turn over here to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. You see, Christ is our husband. He loved the church and gave himself. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He's our husband. He's our head. Isaiah 54, 5. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth. shall he be called. See, we're well married. He chose us to be his bride. He bought us with his blood. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. No wonder God can say in the text, say ye to the righteous, oh, it's going to be well with you. I mean, it's well right now. But in that day of judgment, oh, I tell you, we're blessed. It shall be well with the righteous. It is well with the righteous always, in all times, in all seasons, not just some days, but all days. There's no time included here. It shall be well with the righteous. So all time is included. No occasion is singled out. Because upon every occasion, the saying is true, from the first of the year to the last of the year and all of our years, it shall be well with the righteous. You got what he's saying here? Oh, I tell you, we're blessed. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. From the rising of the sun until the sunset. In young age, in old age, no age is included. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. It shall be well. It shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well with the righteous. Now, let me give you several things. It shall be well with the righteous, number one, because our sins have been dealt with and put away by the glorious sacrifice of Christ. It shall be well with the righteous, for we are made righteous through the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back one page, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, Isaiah 1:18, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It shall be well with the righteous. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has not put away some of our sin, has he? I tell you, if he just put away some of my sin, I'm in big trouble. I can't say to you, it shall be well with the righteous if he's only made atonement for some of our sins. But because the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood cleanses us from all our sins, we can say to every believer looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, it shall be well with the righteous. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Remember what Isaiah writes about in Isaiah 53? What does he write about? Turn there and let's read it one more time. It shall be well with the righteous because of this. Isaiah 53 verse 5. You see, our sins have been dealt with in Christ. You say, well, I think I'm going to just deal with my own sin. I think I'm just going to make amends for my own doing. I just think I can go back and change things or make things better. That's talk of a fool. We can't make things better. Not with God. You see, we've sinned against God. That's the problem. But look at this. Here's our great substitute who put away our sin. Our head, our husband, our redeemer, our savior. Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, with his bruising, we are healed. Now, this is not talking about physical healing. This is talking about spiritual healing. We are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him my iniquity. The just one, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for the unjust. By one sacrifice, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It shall be well with the righteous because our sin has been dealt with in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it shall be well with the righteous in the day of trials, in the day of heartache. In the day of affliction, we can say, it shall be well with the righteous. And I'll tell you why. We can read about it right here in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Okay, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It shall be well with the believer in the day of trials, because the Lord said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. You with me, Isaiah 43, 1. He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. He knows his sheep by name, calls them out. This is the invincible call of the gospel. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. There's no more wrath. I'm your Savior. I gave Egypt for you a ransom and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I've loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, I'm with thee. I'll bring thee, bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, I've created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. It shall be well with the righteous in the day of trial. You see, all things work together for good. All things are working together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to God's purpose. I've got written down to close the service today with a song written by Horatio Spafford, 1850. It is called, It Is Well With My Soul. But there's a backstory to that song. When he sat down and wrote that song, he had a wife and four daughters who were on a voyage from England. I can't remember if it was from England to the United States or from the United States to England to meet him. And the ship went down. And she, his wife, survived and sent a telegram to Horatio Spafford and said, the telegram said, saved alone. His four daughters perished in that ship going down. And he penned these words, when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It shall be well with the righteous in the day of salvation, our sin put away. It shall be well with the righteous in the day of trial and heartache. And Mr. Spafford wrote again, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with the righteous. Even in the day of trial. Even in the day of heartache. Thirdly, it shall be well with the righteous in that day when the Lord is pleased to call us home. In the day of our death, it shall be well with the righteous. Who says so? Who says so? Well, God's Word does. God's Word says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. It shall be well with the righteous in the day of salvation and in the day of trial and in the day of death. We read this again. Blessed are the dead. It doesn't say blessed are the dead, period. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. It shall be well with the righteous in the day of death. You see, death to the believer is not punishment, it's graduation. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And in the day of judgment, fourthly, it shall be well with the righteous. We read in Matthew 25, those set on the right hand of the Lord, and those blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ with that incorruptible inheritance, he will say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It shall be well with the righteous. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You see, we can say to every believer in that day, it shall be well with the righteous. Hear him say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But look back to the text. I don't want to leave out this warning in verse 11. Isaiah 3, verse 11. Woe, woe unto the unbeliever. Woe unto that man who goes about to establish his own righteousness. There is a way that appears right unto men. Do the best you can. Be the best you can. There is a way that appears right unto the man, but the end of that way is death. And it's an eternal death, an eternal condemnation. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given. Payday's coming. The wages of sin, death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the wages of sin, and that's all I produce. That's all I can produce is sin. If I'm going to stand on that ground, death, 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 death. In the day of judgment, it won't be well for those who choose to stand upon the ground of their good deeds. Misery, misery, misery. To face, think about this, to face your sin with no atonement, with no redeemer, with no savior, no righteousness, no sacrifice for sin, how dreadful it will be for those who stand before God with no mediator. To stand naked before God, dressed in your guilt, dressed in your filth. We can't say, it'll be well on that day. Can't say that, can we? It'll be terrible in that day. To stand before God with no mediator, no righteousness, no Savior, no blood atonement. We read in Matthew 25, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. And we can go back over these same four points. Woe unto the wicked, to endure trial and heartache and grief with no comfort, with no comforter, no grace, no faith, no hope in trial, for everything that comes your way works to your eternal ruin, not to your good. It works to your ruin. Woe unto the wicked, to face your sin with no atonement, to face trial and heartache with no comforter, with no redeemer, with no savior. And in the day of death, isn't it most interesting that Brother Mahan said one time, and he's preached funerals and funerals and funerals and funerals for a lot of people. There's an old funeral director, Brother Bob knows him, John Steen. Runs the John Steen Funeral Home in Ashland for years. He's gone now. But Brother Mahan has conducted many, many funerals where Brother Steen took care of the arrangements. And oh, this old funeral director told Brother Mahan one time, you know, he said, I've never been to a funeral where anybody, the preacher said that he went to hell. It seemed like that everybody that this old funeral director attended thousands and thousands and thousands of funerals. And yet he never did hear any preacher say that man died and went to hell.
That's a sad thing. It's a sad thing to die in your sin. It will not. Death for the believer is a horrible state. A horrible state to die with no hope. To die, to live without God, without Christ, and with hope, without hope, and to die without hope.
Oh, how dreadful it will be for the unbelieving wicked to die in their sin. I want you,
don't go that way. I'm telling you, as your friend, as a servant of God, trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all of your salvation and count everything else as dung. Well, I had an experience years ago. Forget it. Well, I had this feeling a few days ago. Forget it. Saving faith doesn't look back. Saving faith looks to Christ right now.
It shall be ill with the wicked. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with them. Not only in the day of death, but how about the day of judgment? To hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. I never loved you. In closing, let me give you these words. May the Lord our God convict all of us and show us our great need of the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. And may God give us grace in our heart to continually flee for mercy unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That city of refuge, that's a picture of Christ. The manslayer running into that city of refuge where the avenger could not touch him. Oh, may God give us grace to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ right now.
I can tell you this upon the authority of God's word. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in your heart right now and don't move a muscle. That's why we don't have a closing hymn, and I stand down here at front, in the front, and invite you to come forward and make some kind of decision. That's not coming to Christ. That's you making a decision. Come to Christ right now in your heart and don't bat an eye. Don't move a muscle. Coming to Christ is not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting Him is a spiritual thing. Let's turn to one scripture and let's see what the Lord said. Turn to John chapter 6, verse 35. How do we come to Christ? That's a pretty good question. How do we come to Christ? Look what it says right here. John 6, 35. The Lord said, I am the bread of life. He's saying, I am salvation. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, shall never want for righteousness, for redemption, for salvation. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Those two words, cometh to me, believeth on me. It's not something you do physical. It's something you do spiritually in your heart by faith. And it means trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation. That's what faith does. That's what saving faith does. Jesus Christ alone. My God, supply all your needs.